Close to 300 students at Illinois State University have already contracted COVID. When is it time to close down completely?
You know, it's a moving target that we're monitoring, so I don't have any specific, you know, date or time.
That's ISU President Larry Dietz. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, August 25th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the latest in the coronavirus in McLean County. ISU President Larry Dietz says he's closely monitoring the rapid increase in COVID-19 cases among students, now up to 273. Dietz says several things, in addition to the raw case count, affect the decision whether to close campus.
It'll have to do with isolation capacity. It'll have to do with, you know, how many folks are hospitalized, and thankfully at this point I'm not aware of any. You know, it's a moving target that we're monitoring, so I don't have any specific, you know, data or time.
Dietz says there are 24 students in isolation, and the campus has plenty of space left for others. Dietz says the FAST University of Illinois saliva test, approved last week by the federal government for broad use, will not be helping ISU anytime soon.
The issue is the capacity to roll that out to us quickly is somewhat limited because of the demand that they have. So we've been told that we would be able to work with them, but probably not for another at least 6 and possibly 12 weeks.
Dietz says ISU is also looking at developing its own lab capacity to analyze spit-based tests. Illinois Wesleyan, meanwhile, reported 11 new cases yesterday, all tied to the same outbreak involving off-campus social gatherings. There are now 40 student cases at Wesleyan. Countywide, there were 99 new cases reported yesterday. Testing positivity rate jumped to 7.3%. That's above both the statewide and national average. McLean County is not in imminent danger of backtracking into additional state-required mitigations, as Metro East and Kankakee and Will counties have experienced. But McLean County could soon enter the separate warning level phase if that positivity rate jumps above 8%. 20 other counties are already there. That does not automatically trigger mitigations, but it is meant to help local leaders, businesses, and health departments make informed decisions. Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. Senator Tammy Duckworth says she and other Democrats want to get federal COVID relief to state and local governments as soon as possible, but it ultimately hinges on majority Republicans agreeing. Former Peoria Republican Congressman Ray LaHood confirmed he is endorsing Democratic nominee Joe Biden in November's presidential election. His son, Darren LaHood, is one of Illinois' convention delegates for President Trump. And the state of Illinois has launched a new emergency mortgage assistance program for those struggling to make payments due to the pandemic. It'll provide grants of up to $15,000 for those who qualify. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Back in May, I interviewed an ISU biomathematician, Aljai Achman, about what his model projected for COVID's U.S. death toll by mid-August. Achman said it would be at least 170,000 deaths. And here we are in mid-August, and that was exactly right. Achman tells me it's bittersweet for his model to bear out with such staggering accuracy.
On one hand, as a scientist, it feels good to know that the methods we are employing are proven to be meaningful. And then on the other hand, as a citizen, watching the price we are paying as a result of the ignorance displayed towards the science-based recommendations makes me really feel sad.
So aside from your model, generally speaking, how have the most commonly cited models performed up to this point? How reliable have their projections been?
Yeah, I think I need to emphasize that models are not magic. So they are as good as what goes into them. During my interview with you in April, the CDC estimate for mid-August was around 147,000 versus my forecast of 170,000, which turned out to be more accurate. The CDC analysis was based on old data that failed to account for the effects of opening up without the infrastructure for contact tracing, testing of asymptomatic individuals. I guess it also suffered from a flaw common to all models based solely on statistics. which is an underestimation of the number of asymptomatic carriers. Statisticians are very careful with things they can measure, but careless about things they cannot measure. That bias has led statisticians to an incorrect estimate of the basic reproductive number.
What does your model suggest about the death tolls coming this fall? If you can look ahead to October, November.
Right.
What are you seeing there?
Yeah. So regarding the death toll for this coming fall, we are now in a little bit different place than we were in March. Now we know more about the dynamics of the disease. We understand the infectiousness of the virus better. We have obviously more data about the virus public behavior and virus public interactions. And healthcare providers are getting better at treatment options. Now we have new medicines that are being tried. I read that the healthcare professionals now are getting better even using the ventilators on patients. So as a result, all model forecasts seem to be converging towards a similar numbers now, and which is around 250,000 by mid-October, and that's consistent with my model's predictions as well.
What is the way, if we don't want to see 250,000 deaths by mid-October, what are the levers that we could pull to make that happen?
Oh, this one is easy. First and foremost is the testing and contact tracing. That's how South Korea, who had the first infection back in January, the same day as our first infection, and their death toll is minuscule compared to ours.
That's ISU Professor Aljai Ackman. Before we let you go, we'll be in court this morning at 9 when the case against former Coliseum manager John Butler is expected to conclude. A plea deal is anticipated. That is it for today. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.